Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, Steeler Nation. Broncos country. Let's steal. Hey, Steeler Nation. Let's weld. Hey, Steeler Nation. Let's cringe. Hey, Steeler fan. Did you hear that? That. That's your song, right? That is your song, but it's never going to be the same because Renegade is now Cringigade. Cringerous is now Renegaderous. Cringerous went with that. Renegade is now officially, well, not quite officially, but soon to be Cringigade. I mean, after all, Russell Wilson himself announced the big news on the X yesterday with a hype video. A hype video set to Renegade and the words, quote, year 13, grateful at Steelers. Cringe-a-grade.
Hey,
Pittsburgh. It's kind of a funky match, right? Super fake. Was super real. City of Pittsburgh and Cringigade. That's a really interesting personality match, but that's something else. We'll talk about the football match too. First things first, though, Steelers, congrats. You just won the Russ sweepstakes. A sweepstakes that included Russ trying to force himself on the Giants and then attempting to manufacture and beef up some interest with the Raiders. A sweepstakes that was ultimately decided in one weekend on a single trip to the Berg. A sweepstakes where the prize was a sack of potatoes.
Like a sack of potatoes.
And by the way, that sack of potatoes should be grateful. Should be grateful to land with Mike Tomlin, considering Tomlin has never had a losing season. Better not be the first one to take Tomlin under 500. Russet, you better be ready to win that job in at least 9 games. Russet. Wilson should also be hashtag grateful to land in a competition with Kenny Tiny Hands Pickett. Because it really should not be much of a competition at all, right? At least it better not be much of a competition. Mike Tomlin is not going to bring that dude in to be a cheerleader or to lead the aisle calisthenics on team flights or to mentor Tiny Hands. Mike Tomlin is going to bring that guy into play. And if he can't beat out Tiny Hands for a starting job, then that dude can already kiss his gold jacket goodbye if he hasn't done so already. If he can't beat out Tiny Hands, he can kiss what's left of his career goodbye. I mean, it really is pretty amazing that we even made it to this point. How did we get here that he even has to compete for a job with Tiny Hands? That Denver is paying this guy like $38 million to stay the hell out of their building, to get the hell out of their state. That's how little they think of this guy. They're paying him nearly $40 million to never show his face there ever again. And then on top of that, there's actually a slight question as to whether or not he can beat out Tiny Hands. I mean, don't get it twisted. Russ is going to be the starter. But the fact that we're even discussing this tells you how far this guy's fallen. He was not only a lock for the Hall of Fame, but he was an alleged all-time great. Well, just ask him. But like 5 minutes ago. So, you put that aside for a minute and then you ask yourself, is this a good thing? Is it a good thing for the Steelers? I mean, I guess, considering the guy basically comes in for free. It's a Super Bowl winning quarterback who is a handoff away from being a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, who until recently was considered a gold jacket guy, and he comes in for the veteran minimum of $1.2 million. I mean, to put that in proper perspective, it would cost more for the Steelers to bring back Mason Rudolph than to bring in Russet. So it's not hard to see why they went for this. Russ isn't nearly what he was. Maybe never was what he was made out to be, but he's still better than what they have, even at 35. And they're getting the guy for essentially nothing. That said, let's not get crazy about Russ coming in there and either he or they going next level as a result. I mean, they might be pretty good for each other, but pretty good is not going to get Russ his stated goal of two more rings in 5 years. Nor is it going to get the Steelers one for the thumb. And yes, Russ actually did say that on record recently.
For me, it's about winning. Over the next 5 years, I want to win too. I want to feel the chill of that trophy again.
Once again, delusional much. Once again, my dude, if you won one in your prime in 10 years on a great team, how the hell are you going to win two in 5 years on an average team? Oh, and playing on a one-year deal for the veterans minimum. The answer is you're not. So you really need to stop saying things like that. And Steeler fan, I mean, I'm not going to try and guess where you're coming from. In fact, Steeler fan, why don't you get up in here and tell me exactly how you feel about this? Because you were not shy about letting me know how wrong I was about Mike Tomlin and how you felt about him. So I'm really curious how you feel about this. I know you're frustrated, Steeler fan. I know you're sick of Mike Tomlin. And the last thing you wanted was another season of Tomlin with tiny hands being the best quarterback option. So what do you got now? Now you have Tomlin with tiny hands and renegade Russ. If only Matt Nova Scotia was still there, then the Steelers might even jump over the Cowboys as team content. First team content. Now, there is one other aspect to this. Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson working together. That's actually pretty interesting. I actually don't hate that part of it. Here's why. Art wants to run the ball. Art wants that power run game. Art wants to pass off the power run game. You know, like he did when he was the OC at Tennessee and Ryan Tannehill looked so great. He had Tannehill, he had Derrick Henry, and the last time we really saw Russet successful was when he had a power running game to work off of. So that part of the plan actually does make some sense. In other words, what I'm saying, let Russ cook is dead. Russet's career as a chef is over. Hopefully that also means no more super creepy sandwich ads. Hopefully he cuts down on the cringe and the cheese across the board, because the guy needs to. Here's what Russet needs. He needs to humble himself. He needs to keep his mouth shut. He needs to go earn it all back. And by that, I mean his job, his respect, his career. And given how far this guy's fallen, there probably is not a better situation, realistically, to walk into than this one. Russet, don't blow it. Don't be the first QB to drag Tomlin under 500. Don't be the quarterback that gets Tomlin run. Hell, even Tiny Hands didn't do that. You know what? I'll tell you what he needs to do. Russet needs to take a page out of Baker Mayfield's book. We all know Russ has had a better career overall. But look where Baker Mayfield is now. Look what Baker just pulled off. Without any of the cringe, or any of the cheese, or any catchphrases, or any airplane jumping jacks, or any offices on the second floor, or any personal coaches, or any of that crap. 2 seconds ago, Baker was fighting for his career. So what's he do? He bets on himself in the ultimate prove-it deal. He takes a one-year, $4 million deal to compete with Kyle Trask in Tampa. Did he whine about it? Did he launch a social media campaign to promote himself? Did he come up with some goofy catchphrase? Hell no. Baker did what he always does. He put his head down. He kept his mouth shut. He went to work, and he got over on all the haters. And now look at him. Now he's got a 3-year, $100 million deal, $50 million guarantees. Now Baker is going to make $30 million to be the quarterback of the Bucs next season. while Denver is going to pay Russett $38 million not to be their quarterback. Are you one of millions struggling with premature hair thinning and hair loss? Or maybe you're scared about inheriting that thinning look because it just runs in the family. Introducing Provia, a real solution that delivers on its promise without the harsh side effects, unwanted chemicals, and unpleasant smells. Thanks to our friends that developed GenuCell Skincare, Provia uses Procapil. It's a natural ingredient to effectively target the three main causes of premature hair thinning for men and women of any age. By supporting scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head than in the shower or on your comb, or 100% of your money back. And right now, new customers can save over 50% off Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Rome. Every package includes a full 60-day supply of Provia serum for daily use, plus their super concentrate that could give you faster, more noticeable results. And every order includes your choice of a free gift at checkout. See results for yourself right now. ProviaHair.com/Rome. ProviaHair.com/Rome. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. In fact, get the hell out of the state. And if Russ ever wants to get paid again by the team that he's actually playing for, he should follow the Baker playbook and not the cringe cookbook. I mean, way to go, Tampa. Way to go for not blowing it this offseason. They just won their division and a playoff game. There was no reason to blow that up. And way to go, Baker, for being counted out yet again, left for dead yet again, underestimated yet again, and yet again coming out of it even better. Obviously, that's a win-win. That's the best move for everybody involved. And going back to the conversation that Baker and I had in Vegas the week of the Super Bowl, you knew right then and there, well, he would have other options and other suitors. He did not want to leave Tampa.
I love it there. I did love it there. Going into free agency last year, I had the mentality, I'm going to pick somewhere organizationally top down. They do it well. They're about winning. Because at that point in my career, that's all I wanted to do, was have a chance to win and be in a good spot and enjoy it again. So I'll have that mentality, but obviously I've seen what Tampa does firsthand. So, well, they, you know, the ball's in their court right now. But, yeah, we would love to be back there. But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
There you go. That was the conversation I had with him in Vegas the week leading up to the Super Bowl. So the ball was in Tampa's court, and they didn't blow it. Just like the ball is now in Russett's court. Time to get to work, Russett. It's not time to demand your own office or your own staff or call your own film sessions to show highlights of yourself. It's not time to coin a new catchphrase or trademark a new nickname or get all cringe with it on social. You know, all that stuff that made everybody in Denver hate you enough to pay you $38 million to not be there. My man, if you think that didn't play in Denver, imagine how that's not going to play in Pittsburgh. I can't be clear enough about that. Instead of running your cookbook, Russ, run Baker's playbook. It got him paid, it re-earned him all sorts of respect, and resurrected his career. Now let's see if you have it in you to do the same thing. Because even though you love to blame others when things go wrong, if you don't capitalize on this opportunity, it's going to be all on you. The Steelers are scheduled to visit Denver next season. We don't know exactly when. We'll know the exact date sometime in May. The biggest question to me is, do the Broncos put out some courtesy thank you video montage of Russ's time with the team? I mean, you got to, right? You have to, right? How do you ignore that elephant in the room? You have to acknowledge it, right? Somebody's got to put something together. Even if it's only 15 seconds, I'll even help. I mean, who could ever forget that one play against Hey, remember that one divisional game where Russ had Oh, no. You remember that one play? Wait, I got it. Remember Russ's first game as a Bronco against Seattle when they gave up the entire future of the franchise for him? And what? Why? Because he was a legend that could single-handedly win games. Remember that? Remember that first game? Broncos against Seattle, and Nate Hackett pulls him on a 4th-and-5 at the end of the game to try a McManus 64-yard field goal. Who can ever forget that? There's your montage. Put that in there. That's your video tribute right there. Them pulling the savior off the field to ask their kicker to kick a 64-yard field goal. Yeah, so Tomlin has never had a losing season. I'm going to hate that song. Can you please get that out of my ear? I hate that band. I do not want Mr. Roboto. Mr. Roboto would be even better. I mean, Russ is Mr. Roboto, right? No, Alvin, I'm not kidding. Get that crap. Thank you. Russ will probably go in there and say, hey, first things first, it's great to be here. I'm officially changing the Steeler anthem to Mr. Roboto. Can you imagine Russ at his opening presser? Is this on? Hey, he'd be like, hey, Pittsburgh.
Broncos country.
Let's robot.
Hey,
Pittsburgh, I got a secret. Let's robot. This band, man. How could one band create so many horrible songs? A secret, secret. Yeah, I got a secret, secret, too. Tomlin has never had a losing season. Wow. Alvin, make it stop. Anyway, Tomlin's never had a losing season. Russ is going to be a starting quarterback. Now, he might not be what he was. He may have never been what we thought he was. And Tomlin's never had a losing season. So you want to talk about an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object. And then mix in the robot. Man, they'll be talking about this in high school physics. High school physics classes for years. I cannot wait till he shows up and changes the Steelers theme to Mr. Roboto. I may walk off on that. If Russ does that, I may call it a day. Even with all these great plans I have in front of me, because it'll never get better than that. Hey, Pittsburgh, never mind Renegade. We got a new song. If you have a question, meet me up on the second floor in my office. We can talk about it there. My door is always open. Being around sports media for a lifetime has taught me that sometimes it is exploring the sliding doors, moments, and what-if scenarios in sports that can be the very best part of the fan experience. For instance, what if the Seahawks let Marshawn run on the one-yard line with the Super Bowl on the line? Or could a coin flip have landed Magic in Chicago and MJ in L.A.? Enter Wondery's newest sports show, Alternate Routes, a weekly leap into the sports multiverse with former SportsCenter anchors Trey Wingo and Kevin Frazier. Each week on the podcast, Trey and Kevin will pry open the sliding doors of a different what-if moment from the world of sports. In these alternate sports realities, dynasties will fall, legacies will change forever, new goats will emerge. Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It is Mike Jones. Mike, great to have you back. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Jim. How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. Appreciate you. All right, so a busy morning with a number of deals already getting done. Mike, so far 1 hour into it, what has stood out to you the most about the legal tampering period this morning?
Well, I mean, the thing that always just strikes me is just how quickly these deals, which supposedly aren't starting right. to be negotiated until 12 o'clock. It was like 14 minutes in, DeAndre Swift had an agreement with the Bears. So, you know, we know that there's little chatters and back channel talks, but that stands out. You know, also, you know, with DeAndre Swift getting a deal for $8 million a year after playing on a one-year deal for $1.7 million, with Philadelphia and rushing for 1,000 yards for the first time in his career is really good. But at the same time, That market for the running back is going to be something really intriguing. You've got a lot of big-name running backs out there, but all those guys have mileage on them. But I don't think that anybody's going to come, you know, within striking distance of resetting the bar that Christian McCaffrey set a few years ago. The running back market has been kind of stuck. So we'll be watching to see what, you know, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry can get. But, you know, again, I don't know that anybody's going to wind up resetting that bar.
Mike Jones joining us. So when you mention those guys, Mike, you've got Saquon, you've got Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard, I guess you can add to that list. Is Saquon, I mean, the bar is not going to be what it was, but do you expect Saquon to set the market, whatever the market is?
Either Saquon or Josh Jacobs, I would think that those two, they are the two younger of the guys. You know, it sounds like there are positive talks between Josh Jacobs and the Raiders. But again, you know, we don't know until we see, you know, this thing get done. I think that Saquon's going to have his share of suitors. It sounds like the Eagles, the Giants NFC East rival, have interest in him. You know, there's also the Cowboys. We know that they're going to need running back help. Houston's another one that Saquon's name has been, you know, linked to. So it sounds like he's going to have a fair amount of interest, and maybe he'll be the one that comes out of here with the biggest contract. I don't see Derrick Henry being the guy. You know, yes, you know, he's been productive for a long time, but that's also, you know, a negative against him when teams are looking to pay guys. They want to get the most out of their money, and a running back position is not the one where you pay a guy that's, you know, getting up there in mileage a handsome price.
Mike Jones joining us. So, Mike, moving along, what is the latest involving the Bengals and wide receiver T. Higgins?
Well, you know, they had franchise-tagged him, hoping to be able to extend talks on a new deal. They wanted to keep the whole band together, but they have not had any luck on getting a new deal for him. So they used the tag on him, and it has not been something that's been received warmly. Some teams, you know, they put a tag on a guy, and the guy knows that, okay, we're going to keep on negotiating and try to get something done. T. Higgins has asked for a trade. He does not, you know, I don't know what the Bengals' offer was. I have not heard that yet. But either way, it wasn't something that was appealing to him, and he would like to go elsewhere, which if they aren't able to, you know, to keep him, that is something that's going to hurt Joe Burrow and them. It was good having him opposite of Chase for that you know, offense. But at the same time, we all knew that it was going to be hard to keep all of those wide receivers. And so this might be the first domino to fall.
Mike Jones joining us. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. You hate to lose that guy, but I can see how it might happen. Now, when you and I spoke in person in Vegas during Super Bowl week, you told me you were going to pick the Chiefs to win their second straight, and they did. Now they've locked up one of their cornerstones and one of the dominant defensive players in the NFL, Chris Jones. Now that they've done that, Mike, can we assume that they're all in trying to become the first team ever to three-peat?
Oh, no, I think so. I think that, look, as long as they have Patrick Mahomes, they are going to try to go all in. Also, look, they got Andy Reid back. They want to make the most of however many years left he is going to be there coaching. We don't know. The question was last year, is he coming back? And he did. The question this year at the Super Bowl right away, he said, yeah, I'm coming back. So they know that they have a window of opportunity here that's pretty special. And so, yes, that's why they were like, okay, we can't afford to let Chris Jones get out of here because we know how important he is for our defense. Just the same way that Patrick Mahomes is for their offense, Travis Kelce. Now they're going to have to go into free agency or the draft. And I expect it probably is going to be the draft to add some more help at wide receiver. Obviously, they're going to have some little bit of holes they've got to fill on their defense as well as they continue to try to stay up to par and the standard of a championship caliber team.
Hey, Mike, what about Legarius Sneed? Does Jones's signing make it more or less likely that they come to terms on deal with their star corner, Sneed?
I would think maybe less. You know, when you look at, you know, those two positions, it is really, really hard to find an elite-level guy up front that can impact the game against the run, against the pass. And also, you know, not only does he put pressure on the opposing team, he also frees up opportunities for other guys up front. And when they can get that pass rush up front, then it makes things easier on the back end. So I think they put their money at the elite position, which is the defensive tackle, and obviously he can move around, play end as well, and it might mean that they have to let Sneed pass on a long-term deal for him.
We are talking to Mike Jones for a few more moments. So, Mike, obviously the quarterback dominoes are falling, but the first one, the most important one, is still Kirk Cousins, even at age 35, and even coming off that Achilles injury. It's clear the Vikings want him back, but only at a certain price, right? How do you think that's going to play out?
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Kirk has been a shrewd businessman. He and his agent, Mike McCarthy, for the length of his career. Remember, with Washington, he wasn't afraid to bet on himself, take the franchise deal, back-to-back years, then went to Minnesota on a fully guaranteed deal, re-upped on another fully guaranteed deal. And now it looks like Minnesota would like him, but paying him another, multi-year, fully guaranteed deal is something that might be a little bit too rich for them. And so that's why he's going to test free agency. I know the Atlanta Falcons are very interested in him. And so we'll see what happens. I think it comes down to between the Falcons and the Vikings. Now, we don't know how serious Kirk is about going to the Falcons. Obviously, his wife has ties to that area, but at the same time, he has also enjoyed his time in Minnesota. So this could be a little bit to create some leverage, or it could be like if the Falcons are eager enough to have him and give him his asking price, then he might be ready to move on. But I still think that the door isn't closed just because the Vikings didn't get something done last night.
I think you're right. Kind of tough to get a read on that, right? Because Kirk Cousins, as good of a dude as he is and as good of a quarterback as he is, he's a better businessman. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Let me ask you this before you go. Mac Jones brings a sixth round draft pick. Mike, I would ask you, could they not do better than that? But clearly they couldn't do better than that. Here's my question. I mean, that is some kind of crazy free fall for Jones. How much of that is on him and how much of that is on the play calling and Bill Belichick and what he surrounded Jones with?
I put more of it on the Patriots. Look, when he was coming out of the draft, there were some people who were high on him, but a lot of talent evaluators I talked to said, look, he might have a higher floor than some of these other guys, but he's got the lowest ceiling of any of these first-round guys, meaning that he started out at a good place, but they didn't expect a whole lot of drastic growth and improvement from him. And so then when you couple that with the fact that he didn't have a real offensive coordinator in year two and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge and the talent around him, that was not good for his development. And so the value was just deteriorated so drastically. They basically had to give him away. I imagine they were calling around and said, hey, do you want anything for him? Trying to get just something. And so a sixth-round pick is essentially giving away the 15th overall pick of a draft pick, and now he's going to be a backup to Trevor Lawrence.
One final thought. What about the trade market right now for Justin Fields? How does that look to you?
Well, I think that that's going to really be dependent upon what happens with Kirk Cousins. So say he stays in Minnesota, then I would imagine that Atlanta would be, a team that, I mean, yes, they can go after somebody like Jacoby Brissett, who's a solid veteran, and use him as a bridge. But there has been talk that they could be in the trade market for Justin Fields. There are also, the Raiders were a team that was mentioned, although I don't know if Luke Geddes, who's, struggled to really get the most out of Justin Fields in Chicago, would be the best fit there. But I do think that, look, they're going to wind up trading him. Right now they're trying to drag this out and get the most that they can. But everybody knows that there's not a whole lot of leverage that they've got there in Chicago. So we'll see what happens. But I do think that whatever happens in free agency as far as the Kirk Cousins dominoes will also kind of relate to what things and when things play out for Justin Fields.
All right, so one last thing, because you brought it up, the Raiders. I thought for a moment before Russ signed with the Steelers that it might make sense for him to end up in Vegas. That's not the case, obviously. What do you think the Raiders do for a quarterback?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because that was a team that I was looking at for him as well. And even, last night, somebody mentioned the Raiders. They said, look, either the Raiders or the Steelers. It wound up being that. So, they've got to make a decision here. There are going to be some other veterans. Jacoby Brissett, Ryan Tannehill is going to be out there. Sam Darnold, not a whole lot of great decision, great difference makers there. It might be something where they have to get a veteran bridge and draft somebody. It doesn't look like they're going to be in position to get one of those top three guys unless they trade up. But if you can still get a guy that's a little bit of a project and give him some time to develop, you might be okay.
It's going to be a really busy week. It's already been a really busy morning. Our guest, national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones, he's all over it. Mike, appreciate you. Great to have you back, and thanks for helping us through it.
Thanks, Jim. I'll talk to you.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Do not make a shake or eat a bar. Instead, grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Wild Trapper, because Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender, and it's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire. Old Trapper is a family-owned business that takes smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. I mean, who wants dried-out, tough beef in a bag? No one. It's like eating a shoe. Old Trapper is the real deal, and it comes in four amazing flavors. Old Fashioned is sweetened with a touch of brown sugar goodness, teriyaki, peppered, and hot and spicy for those of you who like to take things up a notch. Next time you want a great protein and energy snack that you can have anytime, anywhere, grab some Old Trapper beef jerky. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef. So the NFL's legal tampering window is officially open. This is why these deals are getting done so quickly. I would argue that maybe there was some illegal tampering going on. Because, man, they're getting done fast. Either way, what it means is potential free agents were totally not engaging with other teams for months, but can finally start to engage with other teams for the first time today. Now, again, we all know that's a load of crap. The point is, the deals are coming hot. They're coming in hot already. But the biggest deal might have already been done over the weekend, because the biggest deal of the entire offseason might end up being the two-time defending champs retaining their best defensive player. You know, for all that buildup to the Chris Jones extension and that negotiation and how long it took, especially given how long it took, the resolution actually comes really quickly, if that makes sense. The big dude is going to stay in Kansas City for 5 years and $95 mil guaranteed. He can ultimately make up to $158 mil on that deal. So a monster deal for a monster player and a no-brainer for everybody involved. And a massive problem for the rest of the NFL. Turns out, it wasn't the 1942 talking when Chris Jones said he was not going anywhere at that victory parade. At the time, I thought that's exactly what it was. The 42. Believe me, I know the 42. I know the 42 intimately. I have said and done some pretty dumb things on the 42. The 42 has negotiated some deals for me as well. And they were not in my best interest. So when he was getting loose at the victory parade, saying, "I'm not going anywhere," at that time I thought that his agent would be frustrated that Chris let Don Julio take the reins to the negotiation. However, if Don Julio did negotiate that deal, then Don did a damn good job, because that's a damn good deal. Honestly, Jones's parade performance alone might have been worth that new contract.
I need three of those things, baby! We ain't done yet! We ain't done yet! Kansas City, we will be back here next year! And for those who won't Chris Jones go, I ain't going nowhere, baby. I will be here this year, and the year after. 3P, 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 3P.
Dude, who is that guy? And give us back Chris Jones. He sounded like he was possessed. But then again, the 42 will do that to you. I know, once again. So I don't know. Maybe he knew something then. Maybe he was still running on the adrenaline of the win. Maybe it was the 42. Maybe it was all the above. But I know this. How do you not come back after that performance? And why wouldn't he? Who wouldn't want the chance to complete the first Super Bowl three-peat? I make an argument that if they do that, and it's never been done, if they do that, and right now they're the second choice overall, if they do that, are they not the best team ever? If they do that and they three-peat, are they not the best team ever? You sure as hell can make that argument. As for the Chiefs, they had to get that done. an obvious call for the Chiefs. Nobody generates interior pressure like Chris Jones does. Nobody shows up for a big game on that defense like Chris Jones does. And the dude is hilarious. Honestly, this Chiefs team has a vibe, and he absolutely fits that vibe. Check out his X post that he blasted out after that new deal was announced. At Stone Cold Jones posted, quote, Clark Hunt, exclamation point, A plus. That is funny, yo. He's referencing the fact that the team gave Clark Hunt an F minus grade in the NFLPA report card. We didn't really talk about that, but that's pretty amazing, right? The team had just run off back-to-back Lombardis, and they celebrate by spiking the ball in the owner's face. Yes, the Chiefs might be the envy and the class of the entire league, but they want to make sure that everybody knows it's got nothing to do with ownership, because they gave ownership an F minus, not even an F, an F minus. I mean, does such a thing even exist, either in or out of academics? I mean, an F is an F. Notice I've never said, give me an A plus or an F minus. Give me an A or an F. And the players gave Clark Hunt an F minus. Although it looks like Chris Jones just changed that ownership grade to an A plus. And for good reason. I wonder if that cracks Clark Hunt up as much as it cracks me up. The fact that the players gave him an F minus and my man went right to the X and gave him an A plus. That's funny, man. That cracks me up. But you know who's not laughing? Everybody else in the NFL, especially the Niners, especially the Eagles. Because while the Chiefs were busy retaining their superstar on the D-line, both the Niners and the Eagles were losing massive pieces. Fletcher Cox just followed Jason Kelce into retirement to make Nick Sirianni's headache in Philly even more of a headache than it was before. Meanwhile, Eric Armstead and the Niners could not agree on a contract restructuring, so now he's going to hit free agency. I guess what I'm trying to say here is, essentially, the rich got richer over the weekend, and everybody else fell even further behind. Because unfortunately for those who wanted Chris Jones gone or wanted him on their team, he's not going anywhere. He's going to be there this year, next year, and the year after. Three-peat, three-peat, three-peat.
I ain't going nowhere, baby! I will be here this year, next year, and the year after!
Given the holdout last year, it seemed a little premature, but either again, he was feeling it. It was the adrenaline of the win, the adrenaline of the 42, or maybe possibly there had been some sort of conversation where they made it clear, we're not letting you go. But that tells me something. They're all in on that three-peat. They may lose Snead. You can't keep everybody, but if you keep Jones, if you keep Patrick Mahomes, if you keep Andy Reid, and if Kelsey's got something left, man, you're in the hunt. You're one of the three teams to beat. In fact, in Vegas right now, they're number two, with the Niners still being the ones to beat. Big-time signing. Big-time contract for a big-time player. And come to find out, he meant what he said. Where do you come out on that, KC? How are you feeling about that? Best news of all, he played in that game. He played in the games leading up to it. He played in one of the coldest games ever and did not have any digits taken. Amputation, man. You do not need to get a finger or a toe or a foot lopped off to prove you're a good fan. Amputation. Could have been me. I thought it was going to be me. I was going to tell them, man, just lop off my head. I don't even want to be here. Never mind a toe. Or a finger, man. Just take my dome. Because I'm miserable. It is so cold. And it wasn't nearly as cold as it was in that game. And I wasn't out there for 6 hours. Tailgating, sitting there for the game. Could have been me. I mean, some of you KC fans, I don't know whether or not to admonish you or compliment you. Part of me wants to say, man, it's just not worth it. It's not. And then part of me wants to say, well, you know what? Honestly, if you're not all stumped up, you're not a real fan. You're only a real fan if you have stumps. You can just imagine some of these KC fans like, yo, bro. You got all your digits, bro? That's what I thought. Poser. You want to see how many toes I have? Can you count to 9? I'll never get over that. Like, they're careful to say exactly how many limbs and which limbs, but they did report amputation. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anybody? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Let's go to Harrisburg, PA. Sam, good to have you. Sam, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. What's up?
First time caller. Just wanted to make a comment on the decision-making for Russell Wilson as opposed to the opportunity of getting Fields. I'm trusting that they know what they're doing, but my preference would have been to have snatched up Fields, and I just feel as though he would have been a better competitor within our conference as opposed to I'm just afraid that Wilson might be washed up. I don't know.
You're not the only one, Sam, who's afraid that he might be washed. Hey, good job, dude. I wanted a Steeler fan to come in here and give me a reaction. So there's somebody in Harrisburg, PA, saying, you know what? I'm not sure about this. They should have gotten Justin Fields. My man, I'll tell you how respectful Sam was. Sam really didn't want to go there. Sam really did not want to use the phrase washed up. Sam sounds like a good dude. Sam does not sound like those Steeler fans that were hammering me for saying that Mike Tomlin is a damn good coach. Sam was the opposite. Sam's like, you know, here's my concern. My concern about Russ is, well, I don't know. Like, I don't even know if this is fair. I don't know if I should say this, but I'm like, what? What? Say it, dude. Say it. What? You know, I'm afraid he might be washed up. Wow, dude, you said it. You went there. My guy, don't feel badly saying that. Almost everybody thinks he might be washed up. There's a good reason you are fearful of that. It might be true. Now, he did have a better year last year than the year before. Maybe he's got something left. I'm going to argue that it does check some of the boxes. I'm going to argue there are some positives for both sides. For Russ, you're not doing any better than that. Why do you think he's there? He could not do better than that. Now, if you want to argue that the Steelers could have done better than that, I'll listen to the argument, but is that not one of the most Steeler moves ever? They're getting a Super Bowl winning quarterback, a 9-time Pro Bowler, and they're getting him on the cheap. No offense, but that sounds like a Steeler move to me. And by the way, he's better than what they have. And they're getting the guy for free. It's not just cheap. It's the lowest possible salary they could have signed him to. And they did. That's kind of a Steeler move. But, if you're going to say, yeah, Rome, but are we not better than we were prior to that? I'm going to argue yes. I'm just saying, don't ever forget Denver paid this guy $38 million to get the hell out of their facility. There's that. 1-800-636-8686. One more thing I want to say about Pittsburgh. If my man wins, it'll be fine. I'm just saying, on the outside looking in, this personality match between somebody who's super fake and cringy, it doesn't really jive with a town that is extremely tough and raw and real. However, they'll embrace him if he wins. But Pittsburgh, Russ, is not going to embrace any of the cringe or any of the cheese or any of the social media campaigns. Man, they're all about the bottom line. Let's go there right now. I don't want to speak for Pittsburgh. Jack in the Berg. Good to have you, Jack. What's up?
Jim, it's first time. Love your show. The point is I can't get it here very easily. You got to get yourself some presence here in Pittsburgh. But I'm tired of walking around with my cell phone in my hand on Sirius. But that's not why I called. Here's the story on Pittsburgh. You nailed it. We don't believe it until we see it. We'll see it in August. We still won't believe it until Thanksgiving, and then you'll still have to convince us. So, you could tell us Brady's coming. You could tell us Unitas is coming. It doesn't matter at this point, but we can tell you, I can tell you, excuse me, that Pickett is not in favor here with the fans, and we will take anything. We'd have loved to have Mason back, but the way he was abused here by 5 years or more, and is such a good guy, and then he comes on and wins 3 games, and now he just disappears. I hope he gets a good deal somewhere else. But my point of all this is there's no use to worry about it right now because we need to see it.
Hey, Batman, you nailed it. Jack in Pittsburgh, rock him. Hey, Batman.
Rock him.
I love that. Batman came in and let us know how it is. You know something, Batman? You're right about Mace. Mason Rudolph is a good dude.
I'm Batman.
And despite the heat that he took, he played really well down the stretch. And he would cost more money than Russ. That's the most amazing thing. Hey, Batman, tell Alfred I said what's up. Hey, dude, I'm not in any way clowning you. Don't think that. I love you, man. That dude was great. I like the way, first of all, he admonished me. Like, hey, Rome, you got to do something about having a better presence in Pittsburgh. I'm tired of walking around with my cell phone listening to Sirius. Andy, you need a better presence in Pittsburgh. You're right, Batman, I do. No doubt about it. Guilty. But pretty soon, when I have my presence on the X platform, you won't be able to say that. Then we will have a presence everywhere. Pittsburgh. That's what I'm talking about. Try and top that. Oh, Batman showing up and letting me know how it is. Saying, we don't want to hear from you, Russ. We want to see it. Don't tell us. Show us. Don't tell us. Show us. We want to see it in August. And even then, we won't believe it. Then we want to see it on Thanksgiving. I love it. Love Pittsburgh. Love Steeler fan. All right, so do you like it or not? He's saying, I'm open to it. Let's see. Let's see. All right, when we come back, more of the same. Obviously, the phone lines are open. My man just crushed it. Sounding like Batman. I'm talking about Bob Myers. Bob, my man, it is great to talk to you once again. Bob, I got to know, how's life? How you feeling?
I love talking to you, Jim. I hope you're doing well. I'm good. Next chapter, trying to sort through everything. But I went back to the Warriors game last week for the first time, and a lot of mixed emotions. But life is good. It was time for me to do something different. I know you've made changes in your life, so it feels good.
All right, so Bob Myers joining us. I'm going to ask you about that time and going back to visit with the team because I know that was an emotional night. But, Bob, in terms of the next chapter, I mean, you were certainly looking for that. You are now in it. What is the next chapter like? What does it feel like to you?
Hard to say, Jim. I mean, you've been in your line of work for a long time, and I've only been doing the ESPN stuff, the studio work and calling games for about 3-4 months. So I'm not so smart that I can tell you if I'm good at it or not or how it fits, but I'm enjoying it so far. Everybody's been really nice and accommodating. It's less stressful. What I'm trying to figure out is, does it fill the competitive juices? Or do I want to get back in that? But so far I'm really enjoying doing it, being around the game, still calling the games. And then the competitiveness gets satiated somewhat with what I'm doing on the side with Josh Harris and the Commanders. So it's a lot of new for me, but I'm enjoying it. And I just felt like with the Warriors, the best way for me to say why I left, Jim, would be I did the best I could for as long as I could, and I just felt like I owed it to, one, the organization, and two, myself, to step aside when I felt like I couldn't give what the job required. So it's kind of where I find myself right now.
I actually love that response, and I appreciate the transparency as always. Bob Myers joining us. So, Bob, what about that night? The broadcast schedule brought you to San Francisco last week to call the Warriors-Bucks game. For those who missed it, quite a night, not only to go back and get that video tribute, but all sorts of love from the team and the coaching staff, some jokes, some hugs. How emotional a night was that for you? What was that like?
It was a lot more than I thought. I just, you know, I probably made a mistake, Jim, by going back. I should have went back when I was could wear a pair of jeans and drink a few beers and just be anonymous a little bit. But I hadn't gotten back, and it wasn't for any reason. I just, my schedule didn't work out, and I hadn't ton of time. And turns out that I was going to do that game with Mike Breen, who I would never turn that down. I had never worked with Mike. He's obviously a Hall of Fame play-by-play guy. And so it lined up like that. And then I was told by Raymond Ritter, our good friend, who we both love, that they were going to do a video tribute, which was nice. And I told him I don't want that, and I really didn't. I just wanted it to be call the game. But he said, there's no way we can do that, so we're going to do it. And then he said, we might have a surprise for you. And I thought, whatever, that'll be some book, which they, you know, something, some gift. And I said, okay, fine, which is also nice. I didn't know they're going to throw my three daughters up there saying a message to me. And that's what kind of got the waterworks going a little bit. I didn't break down, I should say, but I definitely teared up because I'm emotional with my kids. And I think anybody listening would probably be the same. And that kind of the video tribute they put up was fine. It was nice, but I wasn't on the edge of tears. But then my three daughters started talking, Kale, Annabelle, and Rosie. And I, that kind of put me over the edge. But it was great. Jim, I have so many friends over there that I am still friends with and relationships and gone through stuff. I don't know if you heard what Draymond said after the game, but such nice complimentary things that people said. So I really appreciated it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about all of that, Bob. Of course you're going to get dusty when your daughters come up. And I did see what Draymond said. So all that said, you have, not only do you have friends over there and peers over there, man, you went through so much with so many of those people over there, and now you're on the other side. I mean, how hard is it to be completely objective when it comes to discussing that team? Because frankly, that is the job now.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I would, shouldn't say it, but it's hard. I mean, because you don't want to talk about friendships and relationships in a derogatory way. That's what makes the job challenging. But I do have to be objective. I can't sugarcoat things when they're not going well. So I try to be respectful. You can be critical, Jim. You do this in your line of work. You can be critical without being hurtful. I don't know if people understand that nuance, but you can be objective and say,
Bob, can I never interrupt anybody. You know this, but that was so important what you just said. Can you explain what you mean by that? Because that is critical.
Well, I tell people you can criticize somebody's performance on the court, on the field, but oftentimes we go too far and start criticizing the human being, which we most of the time know nothing about. We call a guy a bum, a clown. These really derogatory words. That feel easy to say, but you're losing the humanity of it where you say that. So fine, criticize the athlete for dropping a football or missing a basketball shot. He's got to perform better on the floor. He gets paid to do that. He gets paid to make that shot. You start tipping over into there's something wrong with this guy as a human being, which we easily do, Jim, way too easily. We cross that line into this guy sucks. And it's so, I would argue, you know this better than anybody. You should teach a course in journalism. But where we've gone with negativity is frightening. And I think people wonder why athletes struggle with mental health. I mean, I don't know, Jim. You'd be better at speaking on this than me. But where we used to criticize and what it has become, I just think is unfair a lot of times. Whether I'm talking about the Warriors, who I am friends with a lot of them, but even if I'm talking about any team, and we can do it. When you work in media, you're paid to work in media. You're a professional. You should be able to figure that part out and able to do that. But you know what? No, there's no accountability. So my point is that specifically to your question, yeah, I try to protect the Warriors. I mean, I have friends over there. You would do the same with your friends. Anybody listening would do the same with their friends. If you have a real relationship with somebody, you want to maybe give them the benefit of the doubt. But beyond that, Jim, whether I'm talking about them or any team, what I do try and do is say respectfully, that performance, this team is underperforming. This player at the end of a game needs to be able to make better decisions on the floor. But you can see how that said differently can tip way over the edge.
100%. See, the difference is that's constructive criticism based in fact. That's not vitriolic. That's not hateful. That's not bitter. That's not, man, I hate my life, so therefore I'm going to rush to my phone and my keyboard and just let it rip. But that is part of it now. That absolutely is part of that. And people are very angry. I'm not going to say everybody's very angry, but there are a lot of people who are angry, and they have a place to vent and an outlet for it. Bob Myers joining us. So I'm glad you made that distinction. So, Bob, as you look around the Western Conference, it's loaded once again. Who do you think is Denver's biggest obstacle in the West as they look to defend that title?
You know, I've gone back and forth. If you would have asked me at the start of the year, I thought Phoenix would coalesce a little bit better than they have. I think they've still got some stuff to figure out. There have been stops and starts with that team, with their health. I would say if you made me choose today, the Clippers, and I know they're not perfect. I do think you made a good distinction with Denver and the rest of the Western Conference. I agree. They've done it before. They've got a great five-man unit. They've got arguably the best player in the NBA. I thought before Embiid got hurt, he could compete with Jokic for that title, but I think it is Jokic as far as the most dangerous player in the NBA right now. And they've figured out a way to win close games. They're very good in the clutch. So who can compete with them in the West? I mean, anybody can, but the question is who has consistently done it thus far? Oklahoma City, I think, is really good, and I hate to be too general with them. I do think the youth in the playoffs is a factor. It doesn't mean they can't overcome it. I worry a little bit about that. Minnesota, I would say, has been awesome defensively. Everybody is aware of that. I think Anthony Edwards, who I think is one of the best players in the NBA, if he can close games in the half court, Jim, then they have a shot. But that's been a little up and down. He's been able to do it at times. He hasn't been able to do it consistently. He's got the talent. He just has to be consistent. The Clippers have three guys that can score in the half court when the game slows down. That's Kawhi, Paul George, and Harden. Their defense has been good enough. We will see. Health is a factor for every team. But I think Denver is a step above all of them. But there's never been more openness. I mean, you could see the Warriors making a run. You could see it. You could see the Lakers. You could see a lot of these teams underneath the Denver Nuggets making a push. So unclear. I could see Phoenix coming back around. I mean, they got some of these half-court guys I was talking about. It's going to be an exciting playoffs. I think it's really hard to peg anything beyond Denver in the Western Conference.
Bob Myers joining us. Bob, really quickly, I'm going to follow up on what you said about the Lakers. You can make an argument for any number of teams. It really is that wide open. What is the argument for the Lakers? What is the path that they'd have to go to be a factor in this thing? What do they have to do?
I think Vanderbilt coming back. I don't know if he's coming back. Gabe Vincent, you know, lost for the whole year. He would help. I mean, those are two key guys. They get those two guys back. I know the audience is probably thinking, what do those guys matter? They do matter in the playoffs. Those are quality playoffs. Gabe Vincent helped the Heat get to the finals last year, so he's not just a throwaway guy. Bottom line, though, if you want to talk, you know, big ticket is LeBron and AD. I mean, those are two of the best 10. You could argue people listening, you two of the best 10 players in the NBA, I believe, right now, especially in the playoffs. So you got that on your team, and they can run a pick and roll, and they can both defend their position. And Anthony Davis, what you saw he did last night, I mean, he's a monster. So they're there. I mean, you can't look at every team in the West and say, who's their two best players? Not many have two best players better than those two guys. And it's really about those two guys staying healthy and getting a little bit more depth, Jim. Yeah, they got swept last year by the Nuggets, but those games were tighter than people realize. I mean, everybody looks at 4-0, they lost. Those games were down to the wire. Denver should have won. Denver was better. But those weren't blowout games. The Lakers were in it, if you look at the scores with 2 minutes to go, in at least three of those four games. And so they could make a run, and that's why it's fascinating. But they're what, ninth right now in the West? It's probably people watching going, "What are you talking about?" But I believe in a playoff series, they're dangerous as anyone.
Oh, you don't want to see them in a playoff series. There's no doubt about that. Bob Myers joining us. Bob, I mentioned at the top that you are a senior advisor to Washington Commanders managing general partner Josh Harris. I'm curious, how did that come to be, and what's that experience been like so far?
It's been awesome. Known Josh a while, just through the NBA world. And when he bought the Commanders, I just sent him a text. I'd already left the Warriors and said, "Hey, congrats." And he just said, "What are you up to?" So I said, "I'm just doing some ESPN stuff." And we met a few times and he said, "What do you think?" You know, he was new to the football world. And he said, "Hey, do you think you could help?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I think," having enough humility to say, "I'm obviously not an expert in the NFL. I wouldn't proclaim to be, but I've been around professional sports and sports business. And there is some common threads, Jim, just like you can interview a football player, you can interview an NBA guy. I mean, there are some things that are parallels. There's some things that aren't. But what's been fascinating for me in the last few months is learning the whole new world and how powerful, Jim. And I guess you already know this stuff, but the NFL is, it's a whole nother thing. I just think the breadth of it, the scope, the amount of obviously players is very different. How it's viewed, how offenses, the schemes, what a coach is able to do, the variables, very, very different than the NBA. And for me, as somebody that's been in basketball for however many years, 15 in his age and 13, almost 30 years in the NBA, it's been it's invigorating, to be honest. And I don't proclaim I figured the NBA out. I didn't. The NBA is still very hard to work in and succeed. But for me, it was kind of like, wow, this is something completely new to challenge me. I'm not the GM. Adam Peters is going to do a great job in the draft. Dan Quinn's a great coach. Did help select those guys. Now just support them. And quick story, leaving the combine. I mean, I just had no sense. So I sat in on the combine interviews, Jim, and I've sat in on a ton of combine interviews for NBA players, top players, middle players, seen a lot of those. And it was a similar setup. Players come in, it's a little shorter. NFL's 15 minutes, NBA you get, you know, 20, something like that. But what I really was amazed at is all the quarterbacks sat in on all the top quarterback interviews, how impressive all of them were, with their scope, with their ability to process plays, their recall. They would throw up a play on a film. They remember this play and the guy go, "Yeah, that was 3rd and 8. We were on the road. We were down 10. We were in a wildcat formation." I mean, I just was, it made me realize how much is asked of a quarterback. I thought I had a sense, but that position, more than any other position in sports, the demand on somebody's brain, it was really cool to see. And to see how all these young men, you know, between what, 20 and 23 or whatever they were, had learned that at skill. So it just for me, and this is a side story, I thought it was amazing. I wish people could see that. I know Gruden did a little bit of that quarterback room. But I was really impressed. And so just something like that, I would have never seen that if I wasn't around football. So it was pretty cool.
It's actually a great anecdote. It's a great story. Bob, what about, because you also assisted in the search for a new head coach, what was that like for you? What kind of input did you contribute? And then I'm just throwing things out there. Like, what did you think about Dan Quinn?
Well, Dan was obviously, we interviewed a couple guys, Jim, that had been coaches before. Raheem Morris, who was really good too, and Dan Quinn. And everyone else would have been a first-time coach. Some guys got hired, some guys did not. And as we went through it, we hired Adam Peters, who was a first-time GM, although he had worked with Belichick, worked with John Elway in Denver, and then under John Lynch in Fort Myers. So he was a mature, new GM, but nonetheless new. And as we went through it, what you realize is that partnership, and that's one thing I learned working with Steve Kerr, that dynamic, coach, GM, their ability to work together, to align. And so as we sat there, and Josh Harris was in there too, you start envisioning, because Adam was hired first, what's the best coach for Adam? Obviously, we were directing the search through him. And we said, "Adam, this is your call. You're the GM of the team." And again, with support from Josh and myself, came to the conclusion that Dan just seemed like the great fit. He'd been an awesome defensive coordinator. Many, many places. And Atlanta, it's funny how we, and maybe all cultures do this, you lose the Super Bowl and you all of a sudden can't coach, you know, and it's just, it's to me, it's crazy to label someone like that. I mean, Andy Reid, how many years did we punish him for not winning the big game? And now all of a sudden he's, you know, the best coach in the NFL and nobody's close. So we often, I think, unfairly label coaches when they don't get over that hump. And Dan had not. And as we moved through the process, We realized how qualified he was, how prepared he was. He did something that I think not a lot of people do. When he got relieved of his job in Atlanta, he hired on his own dime an executive coach. I'm probably mislabeling it, but some form of executive coach. And he asked this woman, please go back and ask everybody what I did right and what I did wrong. And he took it seriously. And in the interview, I asked him, I said, what did you think you learned? And he said, I probably took on too much work and spread myself too thin. And in professional sports now, Jim, whether you're a GM or a coach, the amount of oversight every year, these sports managing the people around them get bigger and bigger. Coaching staffs are bigger and bigger. The media is bigger and bigger. The business, look at the business. Look at what these teams are worth now. These are billions, multi-billion dollar businesses that you as a GM or coach are managing. And then there's more people. What used to be an offensive coordinator, now is an associate head coach, now is a passing game coordinator, now is a running game coordinator. Staffs are getting huge, right? The analytics, you can pour over analytics up to one game, Jim, and lose your mind. I mean, there's so much information. And the audience, you can go grab it too if you want and pour over it. Gambling, the whole thing is just huge. And so how do you, in a leadership position, distill all that and say, this is where I need my energy? When I was the GM of the Warriors, I would always remind myself, what's going on with Steph Curry? What's going on? We had Durant. What's going on with Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Iguodala, and my coach? Everything else is important, but I had to focus on those things. Who's the big free agent we got to sign? Who's the high draft pick? What are we going to do in this big trade? Because if you try to, for example, get so deep into who we're signing to the practice squad or who we're putting on our G League team, you lose sight of the important things. And so Dan, getting back to that point, realized I probably didn't delegate enough. I was not as effective as I wanted to be because I tried to do everything. Anyways, two things to learn from that story. One, to have the humility to say, what did I screw up? Well, you know, no hard feelings. Nobody's perfect, but what could I have learned? And two, to say it and implement it and go back and say, I'm going to try to fix these things. I thought that was growth. And I thought, as far as the reputation, I got Kerr calling me, and Dan Quinn's a great guy. I mean, all these people coming out of the woodwork. And that matters, too. Character matters. And so it just all kind of lined up in the end, and we're happy we have him. And I don't know if you've interviewed him, but you'd love to have him on the air, Jim. He's a great interview, too.
That is a great, great anecdote. Some great insight as well. Bob, I so appreciate your time. This is so fun, as always. Before I let you go, and at the risk of breaching any confidentiality, just answer this the way you will. Did Bill Belichick's name ever come up in discussions? And if so, for how long?
Okay, good question. We obviously, I think, along with every other team that had a vacancy, discussed the possibility of Bill. And through no fault of his or I think anything he'd done, we just thought that for us at the time, Dan was a better choice. But that's not anything critical of Bill. I mean, you could argue he's the best head coach in the history of the NFL. So I would be being disingenuous. And I think everybody would, Jim, if they told you we never would consider Bill Belichick. That's actually not smart, to be honest. I mean, when a guy like that is vacant, you have to have conversations about it. And again, I'm being honest, we did. We kicked it around. Felt like Dan was a better choice. But I think, and again, every team's got to run its team however they want. The best way to go through any search is look at all the possibilities and then settle on what you think is best. So great respect for him. I have no doubt I'd be shocked if Bill Belichick isn't coaching back in the NFL soon. I'd be very, very surprised. But for us, for our choice, we're happy with Dan.
I appreciate that. Bob Myers, my guest. Bob, one last thought. Like, you are where your feet are. You are absolutely focused. I know you're enjoying the family time. I know you're enjoying your media work. By the way, you said, I don't know if I'm good at this or not. You're really good at this. I want to ask you this, and you don't need to know now. Obviously, you probably don't know. But could you ever see a scenario where maybe, because you do want those competitive juices flowing once again, you said that. Could you ever see a scenario whereby maybe you didn't go back to the NBA but rather went to the NFL instead?
I don't know, man. I'll tell you this. I think people are qualified. I think a lot of people, I don't know, they say it to my face. Some I guess did. What do you know about football? And I would say, you know, I think we kind of we define people too narrowly, that they can only do one thing. Jim, I bet you could do a lot of different things. I really do. And not just saying that because you're interviewing me. I believe that. Look at what you've accomplished. You think you couldn't take that skill of hard work, dedication, passion, and put it somewhere else? You could. I have no doubt you could. And you don't even have to answer. I know you could. So people said, oh, yeah, what do you know about football? I think that just like the CEO of a successful software company could go be a good CEO of a successful auto company, I believe that. And that happens all the time in business. And nobody says, what does this guy know about this industry? All that they say is, so I think we are a little unfair if this guy can't cross sports. But anyways, as far as me, I don't know. The answer to that question is not, I don't know it. But what I would say is I got pretty lucky with the Warriors, Jim. The championships we got, I got to climb that Mount Everest 4 times. And 6 times I got very, very close. 4 times reached the summit. So 6 finals, 4 championships. I never imagined that, man. I never thought I would be able to accomplish that, be a part of that as a GM of a team. And it was more than I could have ever dreamed. So I then look at that and go, what else do you want? Like, what is it, my ego that pushes me more, or is it my competitiveness? Because I know the cost to doing that for me. Maybe not, maybe other GMs move through their jobs. I paid a price. Like I tell the story when we won the second finals with Durant, we would won 1-15, 17-18. In 18, Jim, we were in the finals in Cleveland. We'd won it. It's a back-to-back. I had the biggest headache, migraine, ever in my life. I had 1 glass of wine. It wasn't a hangover. I was a mess. I mean, and why? Okay, so why are you stressed out, Bob? You built this good team. You guys, I think we won 4-1. It wasn't a close finals. And we had a great team. I was stressed. I was so wound, Jim, because I got so caught up in this team, this roster, this time, this moment of time. We have to win a championship. It would be so awful if we didn't. We have to capitalize on this. So I got caught up in the outcome had to be a certain one. And when you get that caught up in it and you're living and breathing it, there's a price to pay. And I told myself that night, Jim, that should have been one of the happiest nights for me. And again, when I say this was me, Jim, everybody else was having a great time. And they should, all the players, the coaches, owners, everybody. But for me, I hang on very tight to these jobs. I put everything into it. And not that anybody else doesn't, but I do. And that was the price for me. So when I talk about doing it again, I got to figure out, can I do it a little differently with the same effort, but enjoy it a little bit more and be healthier in it? Because it's a monster, man. These things are monsters, and they're not getting easier. And I will not do it unless I can commit to whatever owner or players or whatever it is, fan base, community, that I can give it the same kind of effort I gave with the Warriors. So we'll see. Good question. We could talk about that over a beer, my friend.
Well, man, I understand what you said 100%. I'm not saying that I've ever been in that position, but what you just said intellectually and logically makes all the sense in the world. That wasn't exhilaration when you won, man. That was relief. That was relief. I understand that. And you are your own toughest critic. Bob, listen, I appreciate you so much. We never, ever do a guest like that. But then again, you're not like any other guest I ever have. So thanks for making that time. I'm so glad you and I could come together. I have always valued this friendship greatly. And that was another awesome conversation, Bob.
Love coming on. I'll come on anytime, Jim. Take it easy, man.
Good night now.